Good morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. If you look on the front of your bulletin, you'll see that there was scheduled to be a speaker with more hair, much younger, and a better physique. And that was just a communication error. It is my privilege and responsibility on a yearly basis to stand before you on behalf of the eldership to talk a little bit about last year and about the year to come. You know, 2023 was an interesting year in many ways in our world. A lot of things happening. It was challenging in many ways. For us here at Isaiah City, the eldership, we challenged the congregation. As Psalm 119, verse 105 says, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The challenge was for us to be in God's word more than we've ever been before. Not just to be in his word, but to let that holy word of God dwell in us, sink within our soul, and empower us and motivate us to be greater servants of him. I think, based on our own family and feedback that I've heard from others, that we believe that this was a very appropriate theme for us. I think it would be a good theme for us every year. And as Carrie has said in class, we're not going to stop just because we're changing themes. A lot happened in 2023. Carrie had an incredible opportunity to hold baby after baby after baby. We keep bringing babies here. We're growing by leaps and bounds because of the babies. What a blessing. We had folks place membership with us. You know, we dealt with a lot of sickness, disease, a lot of difficult circumstances this past year with some of our loved ones, our members. It's been incredible to see I expect this. I know this already about you. But the way that you go before the throne of God in prayer for those that we love most is special. And it's powerful. And it works. We did have some that went on to their reward in 2023. You know, and I don't want it to be today unless the Lord comes back today. But, you know, one day someone's going to stand up here and say that I went on to my reward in that previous year. And for me, that's going to be a wonderful thing. And I hope we're all looking forward to that day when we can go to be with God forever and ever. Did we have challenges this year financially? Yeah. I would say we had challenges financially. Maybe in your home, you had challenges. Maybe you had to tighten your belts in your personal budget. I know that here, that we were challenged, and we had to tighten our belts a little bit as a church. You know, we struggled with our budget most of the year last year. The elders reached out to you to keep you informed of where we were with our budget, and you responded. You responded in a big way. You know, we had a significant deficit at one point for a lot of our year. Tens of thousands of dollars that we were below budget. But you responded. And I'm happy to report to you that we closed out 2023, I think really within about $1,000 of meeting our budget. And I think that there are a couple of our ministries that were actually didn't use all of their budget. So you know, I'm going to try to click this thing. But I'm going to say to you, we met that budget. Our budget was, you can see the need up there, $14,079.11 each and every week for us to meet the budget for all the ministries and the things that we were responsible for, the things that we had committed to. Net budget. Thank you for that. Also, the men met for a budget meeting last month, and we came up with a new budget for this year. It's interesting about that when you compare that to the last slide. This one for 2024 is $720,981, and that is a weekly need of $13,865. You say, wait, George, that's less than last year. Well, I'll tell you, it would have been, in actuality, our budget would have been even less this year, would it not been for the fact that, Kent, we've got to replace the HVAC unit to the tune of about $40,000. Not Kent's fault, by the way. Not Kent's fault. The elders are very thankful to our deacons and our ministry leaders who spend a lot of time considering their areas of responsibility and developing a workable budget. And this will really be the first year in quite a while, I think, that our budget is actually less than the previous year. Now, this, of course, doesn't mean that we're just going to, you know, slow down on our giving a little bit. What it actually means is we expect that we're going to have a surplus this year so that we can do even more and greater things for our Lord. Also, we want to make you aware of some staff changes for 2024.
Yep.
I know that our teenagers and our parents have been brought up to speed on this, but Justin came to the elders some time ago expressing his desire to phase out of his role as youth and family minister here at Isaiah City. Now, that he did not come to this with us out of the blue. This did not catch us by surprise 3 weeks ago. Justin had spoken to the elders in times past so that we could have a plan in place in advance to address the situation when it was time. Over the last few weeks, the elders and ministry team have discussed in detail what this transition of roles would look like. Now, officially, Justin will be involved with our youth program from a leadership perspective in cooperation with Taylor until around August of this year. He and Taylor are currently working together and planning this year's youth ministry program. Justin's role will change to that of associate minister in the fall, and Taylor will be the youth and family minister responsible for the youth program, including our children's ministry. Now, certainly at a later time, we will take the opportunity to appropriately thank Justin and Ashley for the great work that they've done with our kids. They have been such an incredible blessing to this congregation in so, so many ways, and we know that will certainly continue to be the case. So as we move into 2024, I keep looking back because the TV's not working. I just want to, on behalf of the elders, I just want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for your commitment to our Lord and His kingdom here at this place. We are so very proud of the unity and the love that exists at the Isaiah City Church of Christ. This is a welcoming place because of your compassionate hearts. And I just want to say, church, let's make sure that this is a year to remember in the very best kind of way. Now, as Terry unveiled to us a couple weeks ago, the theme here at Isaiah City for 2024 is Behold Our God. Now, you might say, why this theme? Why did you choose this theme? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons why we came to this decision. I think, number one, we always need to be reminded of, as in the most profound way as possible, who God is and what it means for us to be a child of God. You know, God's the one we point to with all of our fears. It's God that we go to with all of our anxieties, and hopefully all of our needs and hopefully our praise and our worship. And for us to do so properly, church, for us to
to do so appropriately, and most importantly, for us to do so reverently, we need to truly know, acknowledge, and act according to the fact that God's presence is in this place. Now, you and I know that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But by the fact that the Lord said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 that wherever two or more are gathered in my name together, I am there in the midst of them. You know what that tells me? That indicates to me that that goes beyond just the omnipresence of our God. This tells me that God's paying particular attention to those who are gathered together to worship Him. So let's talk about that for a minute. Years ago, I preached a sermon about God being with us. And I think Terry mentioned it in passing in sermons for several years now, I think. But what I need you to do is I need you to use the imagination that the Creator of the universe gave you. Okay? And I want you to imagine for just a moment that God is right here. Okay? Now, that's a little intimidating, to be honest with you. I mean, the whites and the Barnes have the best seats in the house. Can you just imagine if Jehovah God was sitting right here? I want to ask you, what would your posture be? Do you think we might be sitting up a little bit more in our seats? I mean, God's looking right at us. What would your attitude be as you were preparing to come for worship? Like, we're back here eating sausage balls and having breakfast foods and enjoying our time together. And we're preparing to come in here. And we know that when we come in here, that the God of the universe is here to receive our worship. What would my mood be like? Would I be carrying the argument I had with my spouse on the way to church with me in here? Would I be bringing the junk that happened at work this week that just totally just got me off my game, am I going to be bringing that in here as I worship God? Or am I going to be able to look Him right in the face and give Him my all for this time of worship? What would be the expression on my face? Would I look like I've been eating lemons for breakfast? You know, that sour face? Cold outside, you know, I got a lot on my mind, I got some worries. What face is God going to see? What about our singing? It's interesting, I was thinking about this song yesterday, and you say, I love you, Lord. Right? We're saying, as the deer, you alone are my strength, my shield. First of all, how would we sing when God is the audience? Is your imagination allowing you to put yourself in this situation? Are we going to sing like our lips are barely moving? I'm guessing, now if your imagination is beginning to work, then you either, your pulse is probably up a little bit, or you got a knot in your stomach right now. How am I going to sing? Yes, I know that I'm supposed to sing and make melody in my heart, but behold your God. This isn't a behold our God moment. This isn't a behold our God sermon. This is behold your God. How will you sing in praise and worship to Him?
would you be able to take your eyes off of him? I could imagine that there would be a lot of tears. Tears of awe and emotion and joy in worship to the Most High God. What about our prayers? I could imagine, first of all, and this is a little logistical thing, I don't know, what do I do? If I'm going to lead the prayer, do I close my eyes, do I bow my head, or am I going to look right at him and tell him what's on my heart? What am I going to say to the God of the universe that's sitting right in front of me when I'm praying during worship? Am I going to pour my heart out to him? Because I'm in the presence of my God. My prayers are my heart's desires and requests of him. My astonishment about who he is. My praise to him in prayer. What am I going to say? How are my prayers going to be different if he's right there? Can you imagine? It's hard to say it even. Can you imagine partaking of communion? Knowing that you're looking right the one who became God in the flesh. And you have, as it kind of works out, you're going to have about 10 minutes, 7 minutes here of communion in memory, in a memorial to what he did for us. Will you let your mind wander to where you're going for lunch today? Will you let your mind wander to the things that you need to do this afternoon or as you get ready for your work week tomorrow? Because, you know, we already know this, but it seems profound when you let your imagination go there. Whatever you're thinking, when you've partaken of the bread, it represents the body of his son that was sacrificed for me. And whatever it is that's on my mind when I'm in this memorial, in this feast, he's going to know it. He's reading my heart. What about our giving? I told Cody and Hallie that I had a little story about Ezra this morning. A few weeks ago, we were doing children's contribution. Ezra's walking up, and one of his sisters is walking with his hand. And I don't know what was going on in his morning, but he was shy, embarrassed, not in the mood, whatever it was. So he had his hand over his face the whole time. Then his sister was walking him up. He put the money in there. He walked. He didn't give knuckles to Terry. He didn't wave to me. Nothing. He just did this the whole time. You know, I wonder if I'm looking in that truthful mirror, that honest mirror of myself. If God is here, it's really weird I'm walking in front of the chair too. If God is here, and I'm giving my contribution, maybe I'm doing this. I mean, you could imagine if God was here, and I'm sitting right there. I got a pretty good seat, Jason, right behind you. If I didn't have my check already ready, I pull out my wallet, and I open it up, and I look up, and there's God. So I go and I grab some money, and there's God. There's still some money in there, and there's God. And in that moment, I can imagine that I'm asking myself, what am I going to do? Bubba has often said that we cannot outgive God, but boy, we sure ought to try. I just wonder in my own heart, in my own life, what would my giving be like if Jehovah was right there? And you know, Terry, I didn't think about it until yesterday when I was finalizing my thoughts, but I wonder how our sermons would be. I know me, my knees would just be rattling. I remember, Danny can appreciate this, I remember the first time I taught the adult class at Central in the auditorium. I did the opening thoughts and prayer, and V.P. Black comes in and sits right there on the front row. And I thought, what am I going to do now? I'm going to teach this class, and V.P. Black sitting right there. That's a man. That's a man. Let me ask you, have you been able to, with any of this, have you been able to picture this in your mind's eye? Have you allowed yourself to go there? Every time I've done so, it kind of always feels so overwhelming to me to consider it. What about you? You know, you might be thinking right now, George, this is a little heavy. This is too strong, these words this morning. It's too negative. I mean, I get it. I get it. I really do. But Terry, if I can borrow one of your most memorable sayings, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 says, Jesus said there, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but it is those who do the will of my Father in heaven." Listen, that verse was not just written for those folks in the denominational world who teach and practice error. Or maybe those who come to church once in a blue moon when their schedules allow it. But it is also for those of us who have given our lives to God and obeyed the gospel at some point and have since settled into our role as the saved and just, you know, whether on purpose or by the circumstances of life, have just kind of checked out to being obedient to the commands of God. Of God. The very harsh reality is that in those circumstances, these folks have essentially taken over the throne. At least in their own minds. And I know what you're thinking. There's probably some child right now that just leaned over to mom and said, "George, Mr. George just sat on God." And I kind of knew who it was going to be. That little joke right there, I put in there on purpose. To give us all a chance to breathe for a second, catch our breath. Let's just be reminded this morning that there are far more reasons as a child of the King to rejoice because of the presence of God in our lives than to fear. Let me say that again. That's a long sentence. Let's just be reminded this morning that there are far more reasons as a child of the King to rejoice because of the presence of God in my life than to fear. And you know what the caveat to that is? The only exception to that is if you have lost the fear of God. I made a comment in Bible class a few Wednesdays or Sundays ago. I saw this video on Instagram, and it was this preacher who was standing up there, and he was preaching, this older guy, and he said, "If your preacher preaches on Sunday mornings in a half button-down white shirt and skinny jeans, then you have lost the fear of God." Now, I go ahead and tell you, there is just no chance that's happening here. I expected an amen out of Terry on that one, but the only reason we have to be afraid of God is if we don't have the appropriate fear of God. There's a difference. Here's the point. The God who loves us beyond comprehension created, we talked about this in class this morning, billions and billions of stars in the galaxies with not much more than a thought or a word.
All the complexities of the human body, the entire ecosystem of animals and plants and space and time, the harmony of it all. God holds it in the palm of His hand. He controls it according to His will. This is the God we serve. This is the God we worship. And most beautifully, this is Emmanuel, God with us. Make no mistake about it, God not only deserves our obedience and our praise, He also requires it from us. This can be our wake-up call if it need be. He is our God. He is our everything in every way and every day. We have to make sure that the way that we live our lives doesn't just say, but it screams the affirmation that God is with me. My conduct, my words, my presence on social media, all the things that people see and hear of me need to reflect that I'm a child of a king. And for me to do that, I've got to behold my God. Not just behold Him like you look in the picture in the clouds, you know, the lights coming through. We kind of use that in the wow, the awesomeness of God. But God is just. And there is a price to be paid for our unfaithfulness. We have to get off the throne. Because it's not our throne anyway. As we close this morning, I want to leave you with some words from and about our God. Now listen carefully and heed these words, okay? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good." Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For You're with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me." Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, "The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes before you, goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." We know God is omnipresent. And, you know, the lesson was very obvious about 15 minutes ago. You don't have to be able to see Him to know He's here. You don't have to be able to see Him to feel His presence. You don't have to see Him to worship Him the same that you would if He was visible to you today. My prayer for each of us this morning will be that we will be committed this year. Maybe starting today, and maybe more than ever, to behold your God. Because of who He is, and because of what He has done for you. God bless you. I also pray that we are drawing closer to God day by day. That we do stand in awe of Him. And we let Him guide our steps and make our way straight. The gospel invitation is open to all this morning. If you have any need, we just ask that you come now together. Please stand and sing.